Dear faithful, today on Christmas Eve in the Eastern Catholic Churches, we honor our Lord's ancestors all the way from Adam and Eve all the way to Joseph, the husband of Mary. It's interesting to note that the ancestors of our Lord, they are not forgotten in the celebration of Advent. They just stay a little bit in the background. They are waiting in the limbo of the just and watching for the light that was promised to them in their own days and which shall be lit when our Lord Jesus is born in Bethlehem. The feast of Adam and Eve falls on December 24th, Christmas Eve. A few years back here on the Vigil of Christmas, I preached about Eve, our first mother. And the feast of King David falls on December the 29th. King David was the traditional perfect king of Israel, and Jesus, during his own lifetime, was called Son of David. But today I'll tell you about the son of David and in the first generation named Solomon. When he inherited the kingdom from his father David, Solomon was an exemplary in devotion and in wisdom. He built the temple for the true worship of God, and he was an honorable and just ruler, a true rarity in the whole history of mankind. But as glorious as was the beginning of Solomon's reign, his end was deplorable. As he grew older, he became very fond of pleasure, and his great wisdom left him. Solomon was far advanced in life when his heart was corrupted by pagan women. You can read all this sad history from the third book of Kings. There we read this sad story, how Solomon, who until now had been so wise, he became so depraved that in order to please these pagan women of his, he offered incense to false gods and built temples to them. The people of Israel were now ready for a rebellion, and they rallied around a man named Jeroboam. He was a brave and talented man whom Solomon had put in charge of the fortifications of Jerusalem. One day when Jeroboam was going out of the city of Jerusalem, he met the prophet Ahias, who had a new cloak on him. Ahias walked along with Jeroboam until they came into the open country. Then, taking off his new cloak, Ahias tore it into 12 pieces and said to Jeroboam, "Take unto thee 10 pieces, for thus saith our Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I will rent the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give thee 10 tribes, because he hath forsaken me and hath adored Astarte, the gods of the Sidonians, and Chamos, the god of Moab, and Moloch, the god of the children of Ammon, and hath not walked in my ways to do justice before me and my precepts and judgments as David his father." Jeroboam was also in charge of collecting taxes from the people. Solomon's heavy taxes, which he imposed to build temples for the false gods of his pagan women, they had caused the people to hate him and prepared them to follow the first strong leader who would rise against the king. Jeroboam encouraged the discontent and made himself popular in becoming the opponent of Solomon. When Solomon discovered this, he sought to kill Jeroboam, but he escaped and fled into Egypt. Later he returned and he tore the kingdom of Israel into two parts, he himself governing the northern kingdom of 10 tribes, and the southern kingdom was retained with the family of David, all the way until the intruder Herod was installed just before our Redeemer's birth. Things were in a very bad state at the end of King Solomon's reign. his kingdom was crumbling to pieces, for the other tribes of Israel were jealous of Judah, and moreover, several subjected nations were in a state of rebellion. The life of Solomon is truly like a life of humankind in a small scale. How glorious and good was the beginning of humanity when God created Adam and Eve and gave them sanctifying grace in order that they could live a good life on earth and then go happily to live with God in heaven forever. But how greatly they fell, and how greatly has humankind fell into all this sin and depravity we are suffering right now. It truly causes, when we return to the history of Solomon, real pain to read that a man so gifted with grace as he could fallen so low. Look back and think what Solomon was at the dedication of the temple, how he cast himself on his knees and prayed so beautifully to God. And then think of his becoming indifferent about the worship of the true God, of his building temples to the false gods of his wives, and of himself worshipping idols. By so doing, he denied his faith, he denied his God, and he offended his people. But how was it possible that the wise and devout Solomon could offend God so grievously? It's because Solomon gave himself over to worldliness. He led a sensual, luxurious life and set his affections on the earthly riches which God had given him. Solomon's love for God, it grew cold. His zeal for prayer and the service of God grew weak, and he became lax and indifferent about the true religion. The universal admiration of which Solomon was the object, it made him proud, so that he became less and less worthy of divine grace. Solomon lost the grace necessary for perseverance in good, and he sank so low that he ended up denying the true faith and become an idolater. Dear faithful, Solomon's sad fall shows us how difficult it is to fear God and persevere in good if you live in the midst of happiness, riches, honors, and pleasures. Those with whom everything goes well, they love the world and earthly possessions. They forget the end for which they were made. They cease to love God and often lose belief in him and his revelation. This is why God, in his merciful wisdom, sends us sufferings, so that these sufferings would prevent our being arrogant and forgetful of God and his holy commandments. But as God sends us sufferings in order to remind us, which is the most important in our life, namely God, God did not forget any of the sinners of the world either, but instead he sent Jesus to be born in poverty so that we would not need to be punished forever for our sins. In the same manner, King Solomon, who had been such a great ruler, then such a great and evil idolater, he repented and converted back from his idolatry. It is not recorded in the Bible, but the church's tradition tells us of his repentance. Solomon is commemorated in the English Martyrology on the date of 1st of August. It tells how, after his great sins of idolatry, Solomon came into great repentance. And for a notable penance, he had himself to be drawn as a thief or traitor through the streets of Jerusalem, all the way to the temple that he himself had made. There he ordered his officers to beat him with rods as long as they would break. But they refused, saying that they would never lay their hands upon the anointed man of our Lord. So Solomon himself seated himself as king in his judgment seat. He first deposed himself from his kingdom. Then he took off his robes and beat himself with the rods until they broke. And after that, with a loud voice, Solomon said, "Christ hath purged and cleansed my sins, and hath exalted his power forever. And Christ hath given unto me the throne of his kingdom and the resting place of the glory of Israel." Solomon served God for many years and received the gift of wisdom from him, and how deeply he fell. Dear faithful, do you desire to stand fast and strong in doing what is right? Then distrust yourself and be watchful. Distrust yourself and be all trustful to God Almighty. Never let your heart to become cold and indifferent. Undue attachment to worldly goods is the ruin of souls. It is the very evil of our time. Everybody in general have but one dream: to get money as fast and as much as possible and enjoy themselves. This uncurbed desire for riches and passions, it robs the people from all enthusiasm for spiritual goods and leads them to commit countless sins. And never think that you yourself could never become cold, indifferent, or even an idolater. If that could happen to Solomon, that could certainly happen to you. Therefore, be watchful, be faithful to God and his commandments, and be faithful to his church. Receive the sacraments often, and spend much time in prayer. The very reason why Christ was born was that he would one day become a man who would be crucified for our sake. And later, Jesus will come to this world for the second time, now as a judge. We must, like Solomon in the end of his life, renounce the temptations and earthly desires if we want to receive heavenly reward. Riches engaged Solomon in the love of pleasure, and this brought also the ruin of his kingdom. The only way we can have a Merry Christmas is if we are cleansed from sin. Otherwise, it is impossible for us to have peace on earth. And as the collect of today says, grant that we who now joyfully receive thine only begotten Son as our Redeemer may also without fear behold him coming as our judge. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.